the Tom Likas Show.
You're a goddamn genius. You are a goddamn genius.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
L-I-V-I-N.
Thank you for tuning in to a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Brought to you in part by the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System. This holiday season, think Mangrate. Click on the Mangrate banner at RomeoUpTom.com. Get their holiday special, and pretty soon, the griller in your life will be grilling like a pro, guaranteed. It's Mangrate. Thank you for tuning in to this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show every Tuesday, beginning at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We are joined by attorney Adam Sachs, who is here this week in his guise as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you.
Great to see you, Tom.
We have quite a week going here, and we were talking about this before we began this hour. Among the things that went on this week, we've got that... Fullerton Police Department trial.
Oh, I'm dying to talk about it.
Involving Kelly Thomas. Let's talk about that.
For you sure. Know it.
A lot of listeners care about that trial.
I got one before that, Tom. Real quick one.
Yeah.
I think you're one of the unsung heroes of this case, and I haven't heard your name mentioned in the context of it.
Really?
But on the Duke Lacrosse case, our favorite Crystal Gail Mangum,
yes,
has just been sentenced for her part in a murder, that's all. I think she got 14 years to life. And weren't you the guy that leaked her name finally?
I leaked her name, and I took a lot of shit. I was called a misogynist.
Right.
For giving out her name when she was busy ruining the reputations of everybody on the Duke lacrosse team.
Whose names were being publicized.
And their names, their faces. Ultimately, because they were being publicized, they had to go on shows like 60 Minutes and others to explain themselves,
yes,
defend themselves, what have you. It turned out they weren't guilty of anything. They didn't do anything. They still lost their lacrosse team. It screwed up their
thrown
college
out of school,
careers,
as I recall.
Right.
Lost their job offers.
Yes.
But you were the one, as I recall, who went on national media and publicized her name at the time. I remember when you did it.
And I took the heat.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? Every time I've given out the name of the individual, I've never been sued. I've never been wrong. You know, I take great pains to do my homework when we do something like that, whether we were giving out the name of Kobe Bryant's accuser,
right,
or we were giving out the name of Marv Albert's accuser back when Marv Albert got into it with this woman he was
chomped her, as I recall.
Well, my guess would be that he'd been chomping her for some time. But when she found out he was getting married to a producer at ESPN, it was like half her age. Suddenly he was a molester. Suddenly he was
his other big
assaulter.
Mistake was that he was in D.C., but he crossed into Virginia where the laws are more strict.
Right.
Was at a Virginia hotel, as I recall.
By the way, I know what hotel because I used to stay at that hotel.
Oh, dear.
It's the Ritz-Carlton in Arlington, Virginia.
Yes, but Virginia is the key word there, Tom.
Yes.
Much tougher than D.C.
Yes, I know.
But
well,
so Crystal,
Virginia for nothing.
Our friend Crystal Mangum got quite a sentence, so I think you pretty much called that quite correctly.
Well, thank you for noticing that. And, you know, again, my whole thing is this. You know, in England, they have different rules. A lot
right.
of our legal system comes from British jurisprudence. But the fact is that in this country, we give out the name of the accused, but not the accuser. Now,
she's the victim.
But that's my point. People were referring to her as the victim before they knew all the facts in the case. And in my opinion, and I think any sensible person's opinion, if you start referring to someone who cries rape as a victim, and the jury pool hears that, well, already, because the name of the accused is out there, and the name of the accuser is not, there's already a presumption of guilt in that case.
No doubt.
By the way, reminder to everybody, Kobe Bryant was never convicted of anything.
Right.
Ever.
Never charged.
No. So,
and as I recall in this case with Mangum, the district attorney guy, Nifung, was actually disbarred. And he was going on giving press conferences, calling them hooligans and all this good
right.
stuff. And I think he never even interviewed her, as I recall.
Why did he need to?
Yeah,
she
right.
was a victim, and they were the big bad monster.
But he won the election.
Yeah, but he ended up getting thrown out of office.
Yes, but he won the election when it was going on.
I know.
As I recall, in the circumstance that you were in Boston, the DA was also facing an election.
That's right.
And he managed to use your case at least partially to trumpet his big accomplishment.
I was told by my attorney at that time that he'd caught his big fish.
Big fish.
At the newspapers would be giving him credit for catching me, the big bad monster. And even when the alleged victim said, I was not a victim. And I think now, with 20 years since it happened, and never happened again, it's pretty clear this never happened.
Right.
There's such a rate of recidivism in domestic violence. It's something you don't get accused of it once. You get accused of it dozens of times. And that didn't happen in this case. But this guy, Ed Martin, was running for district attorney in Boston.
Ed Martin.
And you know what? Even though the alleged victim said, send him home, he didn't do anything. They said, we'll press the case without you. To my ex-wife.
Nice. So look what I found here on Google. Crystal Gayle Mangum isn't innocent, but she's a victim just the same.
Oh, really? Of what?
Of her life, I suppose.
Of her own bad judgment?
So there is a lawyer, Tom, that I know, who I did some cases against. We're not friends. And he was involved in a domestic violence case against his girlfriend. And he was defended by John Barnett, who is the one who is defending this Ramos of the Fullerton Police, so formerly police officer. And Barnett was involved apparently also in the Rodney King police defense. And I've seen him in court. He is he's pretty impressive, I must say.
That's everything I've read about him, is that he's...
He specializes in something I don't specialize in. He specializes in defending police. Who've been accused of various things. He's done various different cases. And, I mean, we've heard that thing. That it's the remarkable thing about the Fullerton case is it has video and audio, right? Very, very clear video.
Yes.
Black and white, I guess, as I recall. But,
yes.
I mean, the audio track is synchronized.
The audio track is part of our show.
Yeah, right. I know. But, I mean, they have the whole entire incident. Mm-hmm. And one thing that you have to know, Tom, and this is what you started the show with. You wanted to talk about this case. It is very, very hard to convict police. It really is. It's very unusual. There are obviously cases where the police have gone too far and done things and whatever, but charging the police in this case, with attempted murder and murder or manslaughter, it's extremely, extremely unlikely that they're going to be convicted. Are you listening, Tom?
I am not only listening, I have a question for you about that.
Sure.
And that is this. Should the prosecutor try for lesser charges that he'd be more likely to get a conviction on?
Yeah.
Or does he go all the way and say murder, attempted murder, this and that?
Well, at the end of the day, Kelly Thomas died.
Right.
So what are you going to charge him with? I mean, you can't charge him with any kind of premeditated murder, obviously. He didn't know the man. He didn't want to kill him or whatever. But this circumstance, it was almost like a gang thing. You know, they talk about how...
Couldn't you knock it down to manslaughter or something?
Well, what actually is the charge? I thought it is something along those lines.
I thought it was murder and attempted murder.
Really?
I thought they were doing that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think if it's hard to get a conviction of cops, maybe you have to go for a lesser charge to have a better chance of getting a conviction.
What you see that happens, in general, this is something that they've done studies of, things that happen in war crimes and then, the World War II with the Nazis or whatever, is that somehow people act differently in groups. And someone who himself might not particularly do anything violent, if he's in a bar fight, and he's getting egged on by his friends or, different circumstances, or there's a few people beating someone up, they'll act more violently. And that almost seems to be what happened here, where it's sort of like this frenzy of more and more cops coming. It was first the one cop, and then a second one comes, and then he's calling for backup. And then by the time, it sort of climaxes, you have, maybe 8 or 10 cops all just going kind of crazy on this guy. And they're trying to paint that this guy, apparently, Tom, they love to impugn a victim like that, that he's apparently a schizophrenic. He's got all kinds of drugs in his past. He's got convictions of various things. He was... breaking into cars that night.
But
that
the
was
cop
the reason
didn't,
they called.
The cop didn't know most of that stuff before he...
I understand, but that somehow, he didn't know what he was doing, and he was freaking out, and he was hysterical and uncontrolled and taking all kinds of medicines and whatnot. It's very sad. And it's a real question, what do you do with mentally ill people? And a lot of them are roaming the street. And you could see how the police were very impatient with him, essentially, and that he was, you know, making them angry, and it just sort of went out of control. It's unusual, but again, people expect that, you know, police are supposed to go to certain standards and so forth, and it's remarkable. As I recall, the audio is from this pocket pen of one of the police. And nowadays, a lot of the police cars have these cameras built in where they, when they pull someone over, it's a camera, you know, towards the front of what's going on and all. And so the police themselves must know that there's a high probability that there's going to be cameras capturing things. If you saw this, the guy from the Fast and the Furious, whose car spun out and exploded this past couple of days.
Yeah.
Apparently that's all been captured on some security camera. I mean, that's how it is nowadays, right? And everyone whips out their camera phones and all. And it's amazing that with all of that going on, the police are still doing the kinds of things they're doing. And, you know, I've seen these videos on YouTube where they freak out on people, or some, you know, policeman get, you know, pull someone over and they're recording and he starts screaming and carrying on and so forth. And, you know, these are career-changing things for these people.
You have to wonder, though, in Orange County, as an example.
Well, do you think Orange County is any worse than anywhere else?
Well, no, here's what I'm going to say about Orange County. There was a stereotype of Orange County for many decades that it was, you know, behind the orange curtain. It was white. People were fleeing the diversity of Los Angeles County to get into a whiter, safer community. The fact is that the demographics of Orange County are now a lot more like Los Angeles County. And you've got people of color now in large numbers, many of whom have been harangued by the police. So it isn't necessarily the slam dunk that it could be if you had, like, Simi Valley when we had the Rodney King trial, for example. A very white community and a white jury, and they let the cops off the hook, and then the riots began.
Well, that was an L.A. case, which they transferred to Ventura County.
Right. Right.
They wanted to get a jury that was more impartial or whatever.
Right, but this case is in Orange County, and
right.
Orange County is more diverse than it was 25 years ago. So at one time in Orange County, maybe it would be clear that it would be hard to convict these cops.
But isn't it a different world? The police officer I was just talking about, his name is Ramos. I mean, he's probably Hispanic, right?
Right.
The officer, I mean.
Right. But I don't think necessarily that's going to help him.
No, I'm not saying it helps him, but that sort of changes the flavor of it, right? The victim
right.
is a white guy, and the officer was a Hispanic.
Right.
That's sort of, when you talk about racism, you're not playing it that way. It would normally be the white cop, right, this lily white cop beating
right.
the crap out of someone black or Hispanic or whatever.
Right. No, but I'm not even talking about the race of the cop. What I'm talking about is that you would have a jury made up of elderly white
right.
people who are politically conservative or anti-crime or whatever, who would be likely to just rubber stamp the cops and whatever they did. But I don't think you're necessarily going to get a whiter than white jury that's going to be like that, regardless of whether the cop is Hispanic. I'm just simply talking about the law and order crowd.
Well, part of the reason supposedly that, as I recall, Marsha Clark did the O.J. case in downtown L.A. is because she wanted to show the world that a black jury would convict a black, you know, accused, O.J. Simpson in this case. And apparently that's true. I don't know why black people or Hispanic people wouldn't vote to convict a black or Hispanic. Well, just as a matter of principle, I don't believe that. I think that, you know, there's got to be something that goes into it. But in general, I'm telling you, people are very loath, even the conservative ones, maybe more so the conservatives, to convict police officers. Now, in terms of my work, let's not go too far off the reservation here.
Yeah.
You know, when I have cases where a police officer says the person said something or did something, you know, it's very, very tough to overcome that. And people don't realize what prolific liars the police can be and how skilled they can be at it, how convincing they can be. There definitely is a lot of credibility that police have when they talk about, you know, when they set them up in court and they say, you know, how many years have you been on the force? And they say, you know, 22 years, and I'm a lieutenant or a sergeant, and I've been given all these medals of valor, and, you know, they've done all these heroic things. The jury is extremely inclined to believe them. And that goes on just in traffic court. I mean, the cop comes in and he says, you know, he was speeding. I remember. I saw, you know. Doesn't have any proof of it. He turned the machine off. He doesn't have a printout or whatever. But people tend to think that, you know, what kind of say, like, what stake does the cop have? Why would he lie? In other words, he doesn't know you. He didn't know you before. It's not a racial issue or he hates you for some reason. He's just, you know, doing his job one evening and he pulled you over and he doesn't have any reason to lie. And people don't realize that actually he does have a reason to lie, that he wants to get convictions and that's part of his job. And they actually calculate his percentages and his arrest rates and his conviction rates and so forth to several decimal places, and it does matter to police. But people tend to believe that, and I think that plays in terms of the kinds of cases that I do. It makes it difficult to overcome. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, when I tell people to shut up, you got to shut up, because if the cop says that you said so and so, or you admitted this or you admitted that, it's much better to have had no controversy and just, you know, you didn't say anything. Why get into what you said? No one's going to believe you anyway. It's better to just have shut your mouth and just not to have given a statement, not to have given the breath test, to have refused to do whatever it is, this field sobriety. It's better to just not do it. So there's no interpretation. And I think, I hate to tell you, Tom, I think that this is going to go on for a couple of weeks or months or whatever. I think they're talking about 6 weeks. But I think it's extremely possible that these cops are going to end up being acquitted of all this. And I don't think that's impossible. I think that might really happen. And if they are convicted, maybe you're right. Maybe they're going to get convicted of some lesser charge. Even if they weren't charged with that, as you said, going for broke, there are instructions that that sometimes I think the judge can reduce it or something, or offer them alternatives or whatever if they ask for it. But in general, I don't see cops getting slammed and getting put away for 20 years for something that they did on the line of duty. And even if they overreacted or underreacted, there are going to be experts on both sides. They're going to have defense experts come in and talk about. They have actual people that are experts on use of force. We're talking PhDs, you know, really intelligent, studied people that talk about, you know, what's the appropriate thing that police should do, or how much force to use, or what method, or if they're, you know, in this case they use that that shocking what do you call those, the that's a horrible thing, they were electrocuting him or whatever.
Yeah, they were tasing.
Sorry, but there are even experts on the taser, which is, you know, how what do you set it to, and how many times do you do it, or whatever. So, I mean, you know, by the time it's done, there's going to be some ambiguity as to what the cops should have done or what was appropriate. I mean, if the guy was really mentally ill, and obviously he probably was, and he was apparently known to them or something. I don't know if that particular cop had a run-in with him in general, but they had heard of this guy and he'd been around. Maybe it was appropriate to just call the mental health department, you know, and have them take him to the mental hospital or whatever. But the bottom line is that, you know, with ambiguity and with experience, a lot of times people are willing, you know, as you say, even the people you imagine are on a jury, these conservative white folks in their 70s or whatever, you'd be surprised how much leeway they're willing to give police. And in terms of, you know, just the cases that I do with people on a daily basis, people have to always remember, people are very confused about this, and I've told you this before, that the police are, you know, meant to put people in jail. People, you know, people tell me, oh, you know, the officer on the scene, he was really cool, you know? He gave me his card. Remember how, this is funny, Tom, you used to talk about how a guy would go to a strip club, and some slutty stripper would take, you know, $500 off the guy, but before she left, she'd give him her card. A stripper actually has a business card, maybe, you know? And the guy would be bragging to his buddies, hey, you know, this stripper Candy, she gave me her card. I've got her phone number. Like, you know, you gotta be kidding, you know? And guys will tell me, you know, this officer Charlie really liked me. He gave me his card, you know, and he actually has the card. And I'm like, well, that's great, man, but you know, he's gonna be testifying against you. And I hope you didn't say anything to him, because ultimately his job is to gather facts and to convict you, okay? It's not being your friend. He's not going to be getting invited over to Christmas dinner, you know what I mean? And when you're in jail serving, you know, 6 to 10 years, he's not going to be coming to visit you, okay? Just remember, people get into that sometimes because of TV, maybe. They get to be like, you know, fans of the police or whatever, which is okay. You know, I don't have a problem with, you know, being interested in police work or whatever. But when you're the target of it, you know what I mean?
Right.
They will use that police buff thing against you. And they know you're curious about it. They know that you're a buff, and they start, you know, say, hey, well, let me show you these forms I'm filling out. And you know, what did you do again?
Right.
And here you are signing your own death warrant, essentially.
Absolutely. So, you know, you got to wonder if a bad outcome comes in that case, how will the public react to that?
Will they have Orange County riots, do you think?
No.
I doubt it.
No. Victim was white. Got to say it. The victim was white. The perpetrator, the alleged perpetrator, was Hispanic.
What do you see when the first cop comes to him and said, puts on the gloves, right? And he says, "You see these fists? I'm gonna fuck you up, right?"
Right.
We're off to a bad start, aren't we?
That is lovely when they do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
So, but I mean, didn't it seem that he was, you know, freaking out and resisting and screaming and crying and all that?
The victim?
Yeah.
Well, he seemed like he was screaming and crying. He does. Does that mean he deserved the death penalty?
I don't think he deserved to die. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen the hospital pictures, but you know, he didn't die for a couple of days.
Right.
He was in the hospital. He was messed up. He was pretty bloodied and bruised. But it's very, very hard to know what to do. And I think... Oh, geez, here we go. Oh, it's horrible to hear.
Roll your stomach!
No, it's horrible.
No.
You know, it reminds me of you have another one, which is don't tase me, bro. Remember that one?
Yeah, we do.
The guy that's freaking out at some auditorium in some university. There we go. But listen, when they tase him, same reaction.
I didn't do anything. Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me. I didn't do anything. Ow!
Yeah, there it is. Nasty man.
Oh my.
The man's inhumanity to man, Tom. What can I say?
Yeah. Now, don't tase me, bro. Did he make mistakes? The guy?
Well, he's creating an incident in a public forum of some kind, right? And basically, I guess they want it to end as quickly as possible. So they're trying to shoo him off the stage, and he's, hey, I didn't do anything. Get off of me. I didn't do anything. That's apparently a very common thing for people to say.
Right.
You know, what are you doing? For what? You know, they're screaming at the police when they're dragging the guy away. They're saying, he didn't do anything. Get off of him. Get off. He didn't do anything. You know, let him go. And so he was just going down that road. And I guess they finally just said, well, we got to make this stop now.
Yeah.
So tase him and get him off.
We're going to take a break here. And we're going to come back. We are talking with Adam Sachs, who is here to answer your questions about criminal matters.
Yes, aside from our political commentary today.
Exactly. So if you've been accused of a DUI, you've been smoking weed, maybe you killed your neighbor, it could be any crime, he's here to answer your questions, and you can call him right now for some free legal advice. And here's what you do. You call 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. It's 901-3000-TOM. 866.
Listen to an entire year of internet broadcast history now at premiumtom.com. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
This holiday season, think Mangrates. Mangrates are 100% made in America cast iron grilling grates that you use with your existing grill. These heavy-duty grilling grates deliver exactly what you need to achieve that steakhouse flavor you've been looking for. And those perfect grilling marks. No more flare-ups, no more dry meat, guaranteed. Hundreds of Likas listeners have already put Mangrates to the test. Take advantage of their Tom Likas Show holiday special today. Just click through the banner at blowmeuptom.com and... as a bonus, every order comes with a heavy-duty Mangrate grilling brush. Order today, and the griller in your life will be grilling like a pro, guaranteed. Just click through the banner at blowmeuptom.com. It's Mangrates.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry. You're not alone. Up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. Four out of five doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back and get you back to that big, bald lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor. New
Normal Rock. Okay, boys, let's talk about step-ups. That's step-ups. Top quality insoles. Now, as you know, chicks bring so many deceiving tactics to the game, it's ridiculous. Fake knockers, nails, eyelashes, hair color. How about high heels? Women are never the height they appear to be. Well, now it's your turn to even the playing field, and that's where step-ups come in. With step-ups, anyone, even you, can be 2 inches taller instantly. Thanks to revolutionary technology, step-ups fit perfectly inside your shoe, and no one will ever know they're there. And while wearing step-ups, you can do anything you normally do. Get them now for the ridiculously low price of $21.95. And not only that, for a limited time only, enter coupon code TOM101 and get free lifetime replacement on your step-ups. Did you hear that? Lifetime replacement for Tom Likas Show listeners only. Plus, they'll throw in a free upgrade to priority shipping. Go to step-ups.com for a unique, ultra-comfortable walking on air experience. Life is short. You don't have to be. Get step-ups today. It's the Tom Likas Show, a bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs in studio answering your calls. Free legal advice. Call now. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866. Here is Gabriel in Bell, California. Gabriel, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey.
Oh, you know, right here trying to get some free legal advice, being a cheapskate for free.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
What can we do for you?
Like a couple years ago, I got pulled over, and they gave me a weed charge, and I had some brass knuckles in the car.
Brass knuckles. Very retro.
Yeah, you know, wasn't that like
Dick Tracy where they used to have brass knuckles?
You know how it goes. I was trying to get my
you can buy those online. Online, man.
Somebody owed you $20 and you had to go out and deal with it.
Actually, I got them in TJ.
Oh, really? I thought you got them on Amazon.com or something.
Why not? I'm sure Amazon has them.
No, it was way back. I got busted for them for possession of a deadly weapon.
Really? And, deadly weapon?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait a minute.
I understand that guns have to be licensed, and there are different laws depending on where you live regarding gun possession. But brass knuckles, if you were not actually using them.
I don't think you can have brass knuckles no matter what.
Really?
They're illegal.
There's no license for those, man.
You would wonder.
But, you know, I can't understand it, Tom. I saw
By the way, I just checked Amazon.
Yeah,
they have them, huh? Brass knuckles.
Yeah, how much?
TacForce TF-721 series. Tactical assistant.
Wait a minute. And the Tom Likas Show gets a discount, if I click through. All right.
That's right. Now, all of these are like replicas.
Oh, too bad.
But still, I mean, you know, they still look like brass knuckles to me. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, it's already been 3 years, but I was wondering that if I were to get that expunged from my record, would I be able to purchase a gun?
Yeah, of course. That's the beautiful thing about expungement. I'd be happy to do it for you.
All right.
I don't recommend to anybody to, you know, plead guilty or anything like that, but, you know, sometimes in life you've been convicted, it's done, And obviously you pay the price, you pay your fines, and you go get on probation or you spend time in prison or whatever it is. But when it's all said and done, and when you've done everything you're supposed to do, which sounds to me like this was years ago for you, I go in for an expungement, and an expungement is an erasure of whatever happened. So you're basically, I mean, once it's done, you're clean as a whistle, and you're allowed to vote again, and you have all the rights you always had, as though you weren't convicted, and one of those would be gun ownership, of course.
Well, actually, I got a lawyer, and I got it dropped down to a misdemeanor, so all I didn't get a felony.
All the better.
Yeah.
That'll make it even easier for me to do. I'd be happy to do it. If you'll call me after the show.
For sure, I will. All right, thanks for your help, Adam.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, hang on, we'll give you Adam's phone.
I like that, though, Tom Brass Knuckles, huh?
I know.
I saw Switchblades online also.
I would expect somebody fighting Popeye with brass knuckles.
And very old school, too, right?
Maybe the Three Stooges, they'd have brass knuckles. Yeah.
I like little things that are like a key ring and then, you know, pull the top and it's like a knife, you know? Or it's like kind of a hidden in your watch or in your belt buckle or something like that.
I know.
I saw one of these ones that was like kind of a comb. It was like one of those, like, you know, that you'd use on like kind of an afro, and you pull the handle off of the comb, and it's a knife.
Really? Unbelievable.
Life is great, huh?
It certainly is. All right, it's 901-3000. Tom, Adam Sachs here answering questions about your brushes with the law. If you've been accused of a crime, if you committed a crime, if they say you did it, you say you didn't, and she said, she said, whatever, you can call right now at 901-3000-866. Here comes Chris in Riverside. Chris, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Adam. You guys, be really, Sean, please tell all your listeners, be really careful in Orange County. They have a 97% conviction rate, for one.
Is that true? I've heard some very high numbers. I never heard 97%.
That's very true, and my brother just recently got convicted there for 28 counts of child molestation. They gave him 56 years.
Well, Jesus, he must have been doing something. Come on, 28 counts.
Well, what it all started, and it sounds just like a Tom Likas story, because what it all started with was my brother was going through this custody battle with his ex-wife.
Oh, no.
Just back and forth, and then all of a sudden, she tries to get him arrested here in Riverside, and they said, oh, there's not enough evidence, can't do anything. She does it in Orange County, and the cops come and arrest him.
So he was charged with molesting his own child?
Molesting his stepdaughter. And apparently some other girl that was staying there that was a relative. And there was no evidence, no witnesses.
You're not telling me that your brother married a single mother?
Yeah.
Hold on one second now, and I'm sorry about your brother. Don't get me wrong, okay?
Sure. No,
This is a lesson to you boys, okay? And I'm sorry to say it, it's the dark side here, but I have seen this already a few times, okay? Aside from everything else, when you marry a single mother and the relationship goes down the toilet, and you can mark my words, if the child we're talking about that she has is a girl, you are going to find yourself accused. Okay, Tom?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I know,
and
it's true.
What you're talking about with your brother, man, I was watching this with my son the other day. There's this show, Dexter. And in the show, I don't know, it's kind of an old show, Tom. You ever watch Dexter? I don't know. He's into it.
That's one of those shows that is stacked on my DVR waiting for me to watch.
Well, it's a pretty interesting show. But anyway, so Dexter is dating this single mother, of course, because this is a show, you know, for women and all. And she has two little kids, and they're from her ex-husband is a crack addict, and he's in jail or something. And anyway, so Dexter is playing with this little girl, and he's throwing her in the air and whatever. And I'm saying, are you out of your fucking mind? Okay? She's like, you know, 9, 10 years old. She's gonna say, "Oh, he touched me on my ass, mommy. He touched me on my vagina. Oh my God, you know." And this is especially when you break up and everyone hates each other. You will not believe how women go insane in custody fights. And look what's happened to this guy's brother here. 28 counts.
And it's just all it is physical contact: touching their shoulder, touching their breast, touching their butt. Boom. One count, two count, three count.
Well, I don't think anyone's gonna worry about the shoulder, but I'd say the buttocks is a big one.
And what sucked was, you know, they just kind of figured it out by math. They just said, well, you were married 7 years. She's saying it happened about 4 times a year, 28 counts. Boom. Just like that. We're like, are you kidding us?
Or, the worst thing is that the mother coaches the daughter, you know, and tells her, look, you know, that guy, he's an asshole, you know, we're gonna put him in jail. And the little girl's like, okay, mommy, whatever you say, you know. And she doesn't want to, like, piss her mother off, you know.
And even, you know, when they went to the hearing for the sentencing and stuff, and they tried to parade him out there and tar and feather him, and it sucked, you know. I'm like, I'm not going to feel ashamed that he's my brother because I feel honestly in my heart.
Did he have, like, a proper lawyer? I mean, what did he do? I'm like, shocked to hear all this.
He went out, you know, I loaned him $12,000, and, of course, it was against Tom rules again, and then my mom loaned him a bunch of money. He wound up spending about $40,000 in lawyers, and it didn't really matter. You know, he's trying to appeal it now. But we'll see where it goes from here, you know, and it just...
It's the same as this case we were talking about in Fullerton, you know, and obviously it's already passed and he's appealing it, which is a good idea probably, but in general, you know, you need to have an expert witness, and there are people that are experts in, like, that other case in Fullerton case where, you know, use of force, and in your brother's case, there are experts that talk about, you know, false accusations of molestation and circumstances and so forth, and there's some unbelievable, you're talking about a statistic of 97% convictions, but there's an unbelievable statistic about divorce. And apparently in custody disagreements and divorce, which are very common, there's something like 80 to 90% of them include allegations of sex abuse. I mean, that is just standard bullshit that just comes up. It's unbelievable. It's terrible.
And even the way the DA just kind of lied about the story and threw facts in there, and I was telling him, of course she is. There's no accountability for her.
Yeah.
It's not like in Texas where there's accountability. And it was like a shooting gallery from day one, the day he walked in. You know, you have this real conservative kind of jury, older people, and I was like, none of these people look like our peers. You know, we're Mexican-Americans from San Bernardino.
Wow.
They do not look, any one of us does not look like us.
Well, do you think that, this is an interesting point that you're raising. Let me ask you, you can't just say this. You can't just throw it out there, okay, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got absolute respect for Mexican-Americans, okay? Do you sincerely think that your race, your ethnic background, your brother's obviously the same as you, do you think that that had an impact on the outcome?
Well, I can honestly say this. When I went to go see him last Friday in Orange County Jail there off of, in Santa Ana, when we went in to go talk to him through the glass, I felt like I was at a family reunion because I saw nothing but Mexicans and nothing but Mexican-Americans behind the glass.
Right.
You know, I saw maybe one white person. I didn't see any African-Americans, and so I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Well, it is a fact that there, you know, certain ethnic groups are overrepresented in jail. And that's much more true of blacks, by the way, than Hispanics. But even so, what I'm really talking about is something much more specific, which means kind of what Tom was talking about before, which is that, you know, do you think that in this sort of descriptor that Tom was talking about where, you know, Orange County was this kind of very kind of white suburb with people that were escaping from the city of Los Angeles, and that somehow that had an impact on your brother's outcome in terms of his trial?
I believe so because, you know, myself, I'm kind of a short, chubby Mexican guy, and him, it's kind of ironic because he takes after my mom's side, more fair-complected, taller, but he's got the name Jesus León. And I was like, dude, you should have changed your name to Brad Jones. You would have got lucky.
Yeah.
You should have said dude a lot and man. And,
Jesus
and, you know,
wasn't
you
such a good idea, huh?
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm not saying that... You know, it's really hard to claim anything without evidence.
Well, what about the victim, the alleged victim?
Alleged victim?
Yeah. What was her story? Was she white?
Yeah, it was his stepdaughter, and
I don't know who the stepmother was. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they're white. They're from Missouri. They're really weird. I never got along with them really well. And part of it was because I told my brother, "Why are you marrying her? You know, she's a stepmom. Why are you cleaning up some other guy's mess?" Just like Tom, like, you know, my dad there, but, you know, it just all went to hell.
I hate to say it, but another example of somebody who did not follow the rules, and this is what happens to people who don't follow the rules.
And even when they got divorced, Tom, he was still looking at her MySpace, and I was like, and, you know, I gave him the metaphor about if a hobo's going out there getting the cans out of the trash, why do you care? And he would throw back at me, well, those are my kids, I have to care, and I want to know what's going on. And I'm like going, oh, dude, this is not going to go well anytime. And it just didn't. It got him 56 years.
What kills me is that I talk to guys who are somewhere in the middle of this. and I tell them, get out now, let me file the papers, get you the hell away from this woman. And they can't. They hesitate. And they go, well, you know, I don't know, maybe we can get back together, I still love her, blah, blah, blah. And it's like you say, it's like disaster waiting around the corner. So I wish you luck on his appeal. It's just awful.
We discuss it, and she says, why do you think this happened? And I was like, honestly, I think he felt like maybe she was still in love with him. And I think it was part of his own ego. When I was telling him, dude, this is not going well at all. You need to stop. You know, you need to get a life. Move on.
One of the great lessons that I learned from Mr. Tom Likas sitting right next to me here years ago, and this was a real revelation for me after I got divorced and I was newly single when I started discovering Tom, was not hitting rewind. And when it's over, it's over. That's a big lesson to me, Tom, at the time.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's so important. Never to go back in time. Especially if you've been through a big divorce. A lot of guys, you know, they want to go back in time after they've gone through a big divorce, spend money, they're paying child support, they're paying vagina money. A lot of them think maybe they'll save money. They go back, they won't have to pay anymore. Or maybe she loved you. Maybe it was just a misunderstanding.
It's unbelievable.
You never go back.
That's twisted logic. And I got to tell you, even with an old girlfriend or whatever, and I hate to even say it, Tom, I've had the experience a couple of times where you sort of break up and get back together 6 months later or whatever.
Yep.
I can't say I've done that more than once or twice, but that is something that really comes right in your face is why you broke up.
Right.
And there is a reason. There are many reasons that you broke up. And by the way, Tom, since last week, and I brought it with me, I rented and watched Modern Romance.
Oh, there you go, the Albert Brooks movie.
Yeah, it's right here. I gave it to Gary.
Yes.
If you want to see it again. So
it's funny, right?
Yeah, but it's exactly what you're talking about, Tom. It's these people.
The guy
hits
rewind several times in the movie.
They just and they're fucked up. They're torturing each other. They really are torturing each other.
Yes.
And it's mostly him. They have him playing, I guess, the neurotic Jewish guy or whatever. Sort of like the Woody Allen character.
Right.
But it's exactly that thing. There is a history and there is a reason that things went the way they did. And maybe it's good to analyze it and to learn from it. But to try to go back to it or to drunk dial her at 3 in the morning or whatever, it's suicide. And here, I mean, what could be worse than that? Can you imagine this guy getting 50-something years in jail?
I know.
I'd commit
2 years for each allegation.
I know, but I'd kill myself, Tom. What would be the point of your life?
Unbelievable.
I mean, what, are you going to get paroled in 20 years? I mean, what's going to be left of you as a person?
God almighty. Unbelievable. We'll take a break. Chris, thank you. Thank you for the call. We are here with defense attorney Adam Sachs. You can talk to him by calling us at this number, 901-3000-TOM. That's the number, 901-3000-TOM. If you want to get some free legal advice from Adam Sachs, 901-3000-866.
Storming halls, breaking walls, and busting balls. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Is your small business online? If not, you're probably missing out on potential clients. And that's a problem. Let the guys at Premium Interactive take care of it for you. The same team that produced BlowMeUpTom.com is ready to help you expand your market reach by doing everything from logo and web design to creating effective and efficient online marketing strategies. Check them out at PremiumInteractive.com. They've been promoting large to small businesses online for over a decade, and they're ready to put all of their experience to work for you. Now visit PremiumInteractive.com right now for a special limited time promotion called the Express Website Solution. And it starts at just $699. That's right. For just $699, you can have a complete and professionally designed website. It's PremiumInteractive.com. Just mention the Tom Likas Show and get an extra 20% off. It's time to get your business online. Get started today with PremiumInteractive.com.
It's the very first new normal holiday party from hell. Thursday, December 12th from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. at Casa Cabo Bar and Grill in Burbank, California. Come hang out with the professor and the crew, plus the Bycats and special guests. If you're a P1, you get it for free with your yearly subscription. So go to PremiumTom.com now and get your subscription.
Listen today is the first ever New Normal Holiday Party from Hell. Thursday, December 12th from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. at Casa Cabo in Burbank. Ho, ho, fucking ho.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the New Normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com. Tom Likas Show, the bonus time from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. 901-3000 Tom is the telephone number to talk to defense attorney Adam Sachs. Right now, 901-3000 866 Steve in Azusa. You're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
How you doing, Tom?
Doing
hey,
okay.
Steve, what's going on?
Good. How are you doing? I have a question. Oh, about 15, 16 years ago, I was arrested for domestic violence. And that's the only thing I've ever been arrested for. Did everything I had to do. Now, you were talking about getting that sponge. If I was to get that sponge, would I be able to go and buy a gun? Because
yeah,
from what I understand.
Of course. That's just what that guy asked me.
But what you don't want to do is go back and shoot the person who accused you of domestic violence.
That's what he said. It was 16 years ago.
Anytime you have a 273.
Some people hold a grudge.
All right. Well, it sounds to me like they broke up a long time ago.
Yeah, but I was told that you would never be able to buy a gun.
No.
Because of the violence.
Domestic violence. Yeah, I understand. Domestic violence is a special category, of course, and they're going to be much more careful in terms of expungement. But you have to do it properly, and I'll do it for you. But the point is that, you know, it's 16 years ago. I think it's fair to say that, you know, if you were habitually doing this to people or whatever all these years, but if you only did it once, it's like what Tom was saying with that Boston incident that he had. I mean, it's 20 years ago. That proves that he's not a domestic abuser, because people that do that kind of thing do it habitually. Anytime I talk to a woman who's crying to me about her boyfriend being a drug addict or an alcoholic, and she says how he became one in his 20s or in his 30s, that's bullshit. You start this much earlier than that. And if you're a hardcore drinker or druggie, you've been doing it since you were 12. The idea that you're picking it up in your 30s and 40s is nonsense. And the fact that you haven't done anything wrong in 16 years means that you're a good citizen. You're okay. So we expunge it, and then you move on with your life.
Oh, okay. Well, it's funny about my case, though. It was with my son's mom at the time.
Don't tell me. You have a kid with this woman?
No, we got separated, and she did her thing, and my son, I got full custody of my son since he was little.
All right.
But when that happened, she came back. When I came out of jail, she came back and tried to do it to me again.
Oh, for God's sake.
So, you know, the cops were called. And she tried to say that I hit her again.
You got to be kidding me. These women are, like, so dramatic. I wouldn't go near a person who accused me of something like that.
Well, she was coming to my house to pick up my son. I was watching
Let her wait at the end of the driveway or whatever.
Well, no, and I had my sister's roommate with me, and that's why she started acting all crazy, because she's like, who is this bitch? Are you fucking her now? And it's like, that's my sister's roommate. You know her. So what happened, everything backfired on her, and she got charged with domestic violence.
No.
And she had to do the whole thing.
Great.
So, That's what I was saying. Like, she went to go cry wolf the first time. Of course, they believed it.
Well, one of the classic things that I've seen, and I have a case like this right now in court, everything goes okay for a while. And like you said, the roommate, what ends up happening is not just are you screwing the roommate or whoever it was, it's that the woman doesn't like your new woman being around the kid. That's what gets them crazy. I don't want that bitch near my son or blah, blah, blah.
Right. But I wasn't even messing around with her. She really was my sister's roommate. And I was sitting on my sister's house at the time because we had just broken up with her.
Well, if you're, so you know, if you're with...
she just assumed, like, well, I'm going to screw you like this. I'll put you back in jail.
No, if you're with one of these insane, jealous women, it doesn't really matter if you're actually with the girl or not. You know,
right.
I mean, I was dating a woman who was very, very crazy like that. And I realized it pretty early and got rid of the whole story. But I think we went to a hotel, and I was checking in, and I was, you know, talking nice to this clerk who was checking us in, and she accused me of having an affair with the clerk. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? So the fact that your sister's roommate, I mean, you know, of course you're fucking her. What else is new?
Thank you for that, Steve. Appreciate the call. Greg in Ontario, California. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Hey, how are you?
Not too bad. Well, actually, I've had better days. A week ago today, actually, I was pulled over by a L.A. County Sheriff's deputy.
Yeah.
For a stupid violation. My lights in the front were two small red bulbs, and apparently those are illegal.
Okay.
Anyway, he searched my vehicle without my consent.
Whoa, wait a second. Hold on. You know that they're not allowed to do that unless they have what's called probable cause. It's very common that... It's very common that people get pulled over for, like you say, a brake light or a headlight or something, and then it leads to all these other things. But, you know, if he pulled you over and he's writing you up for that ticket for that, if he wants to search your car, you say, look, I'm sorry, officer, I don't want you to search my car. Did you say that?
Yeah, see what might have... No, you know what might have been the cause is I have a PA system, and maybe he...
PA
he
system?
He got nervous or something, and he maybe that was the cause that he searched.
No. What, you had a PA system on your car?
Yeah, like a PA speaker.
So what?
What's that?
So what? That's no reason to search your car.
Exactly.
Did you say, I'm sorry, it's important now, did you say clearly, officer, I don't want you to search my car?
No, he never asked my permission.
He just said, I'm searching your car and started doing it?
He called for backup. He was a motorcycle cop.
Did you ask him to stop?
No, I did not. That's my first time ever in a situation like this, so I never said anything.
All right, well, anyway, so he searched your car, and what happened?
And I had the expired prescription medication that was in my name. It was from about 2 years ago, but, you know, it was for the dental work that I had done, and I only used what I needed, and I completely forgot about that stuff in the car.
So what were they, narcotics?
No, it was codeine.
Yeah, that's a narcotic.
That's a narcotic.
Painkiller.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's like stupid, but you had codeine, okay. You know, you shouldn't have that, especially not expired, but obviously you got it in the context of an appropriate reason. You had dental work done, you used a few of the pills, and you forgot you had it in your car, so what?
Exactly.
So he charged you with that?
Left over. Yes, and I was actually taken in, and I posted the bail, percentage of the bail, and... I have a case in January, end of January, and I'm just trying to get some information on where do I go from here.
All right. Well, it's serious. You know, narcotics, you can get in very serious trouble. You obviously have a reason and an explanation. I hope you didn't make any statements to the police or anything. And,
no, I did not say anything.
Good. And that search sounds pretty funky to me, first of all. And your explanation sounds very logical. And so I certainly think I could probably help get you off. But definitely get yourself a lawyer, someone like me or someone similar. And I definitely can help you with that. But it's crazy. A lot of times people get tripped up. And we put this in our commercial that Tom reads about me, how you want to be on the road to success and you don't want to get tripped up by a legal problem. And it's amazing how you can do something so simple, so silly, and the circumstances don't make any sense, and it can be life-changing. So here, you had dental work done, big deal. You took some pills for it that were prescribed, so what? You put them in the glove compartment and forgot about them, okay, fine. And now here it is 2 years later, and you get pulled over for a headlight violation, which doesn't even make any sense. And now all of a sudden you're going down for a felony for narcotics possession. It's crazy.
Good luck. Thanks for the call. And Dean will set you up with Adam, by the way. They'll put you guys in touch.
You see how it goes, Tom? Isn't it amazing how, you know, circumstances come together against people?
Oh, I know.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I've talked to people where when in 2 or 3 weeks, their whole life is disassembled because of something that's stupid. It just, like, what, the headlight? It's absurd.
I know. Jeff in Seattle, you're on the Tom Likas Show with attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Jeff.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Jeff.
All right.
And hello there, Adam.
Hey, what's going on?
All right, man. I
love your enthusiasm.
Yeah, I love you guys. I've been dealing with this situation for a year and a half now, trying to get this thing to go to trial. A year and a half ago, my ex said that I hit her. I didn't touch her. What happened was that she was losing control of herself.
Oh, how unusual for a woman to do that.
Yeah, really. She was pissed off over some books and stuff that I had on the kitchen table.
Really? What were they, porno books?
No, actually it was like school stuff.
Really?
So
you left a mess in the kitchen.
No, it wasn't even a mess. It was a nice little pile on the kitchen table, but she did not want it on the kitchen table.
So do you see how a woman can just go off about absolutely anything?
Yes. Nothing. Over nothing. So she ended up flinging the stuff off the table, and our son was behind us, and my textbook hit him, knocked him to the floor. We had hardwood floors. So I immediately, went to tend to him. I picked him up, and I saw my cell phone sitting on the counter. So I was just like, you know what? I'm not even dealing with this. I called 911 on her.
This is not
the first time.
I got to talk to you about that. And first of all, if it's not the first time, I definitely have to talk to you about that. You know, Tom has another great saying. Tom, I keep plugging you here.
I can use all the help I can get. It pays to advertise.
Okay. One of the classics that I also certainly got from you directly, Tom, was, and you should remember this one, Jeff, if 911 is your area code, you got a problem, okay?
Or if you have 911 on speed dial.
Yeah, speed dial.
And some people do.
Well, apparently Jeff does, because this wasn't the first time. And I got to tell you, Jeff, I hesitate as a man, you know, being in different circumstances. You got to think very carefully before you call 911, because even though you're the one that called, it doesn't matter. When the police arrive, they're just doing a general investigation. And if there's violence, domestic violence, they've been taking classes and courses and training that makes them believe that domestic violence is something perpetrated by a man against a woman. And so you're going to be the one that gets arrested, period. They're not going to take your side.
That's always been the case.
Okay.
But if you're
Jeff, can I ask you a question that is not a legal matter? Why are you still there?
No, I'm not there anymore.
Well, prior.
The only reason why I stayed with it was because of my son.
Yeah, but why is it good for your son to be experiencing his parents acting violently?
No, it's not.
Or seeing the cops coming over.
Yeah, that's not so good either.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, she was arrested once.
Is it good for your kid to see that?
No, it's not. I was going to school at the time, so I was trying to get myself into a position to where I could get my own place and get back to work. So
I understand, but Miss Freak Out Woman is getting upset because you stacked books on the freaking table. I mean, what's the use, man? She's going to get upset about anything, I suppose. So anyway, was your son injured when he got hit by the book?
They said he wasn't, but it knocked him to the floor.
Right.
So like I said, I called them. But obviously, like I said, I sent her to jail before. So when they came, she said that I had hit her.
Naturally.
I didn't touch her. The cops looked at her. They didn't see any marks on her, no bruises, no anything.
Okay.
And like, they were like, well, she said that you hit her, so we're taking you. I'm like, you guys gotta be kidding me. I said, I've called them a couple times because of stuff that she's done.
No, but that's not adding to your credibility, man. You see, that's not gonna help you. Well, I don't know what kind of claim that is. Oh, I called a few times and you usually arrest her, so you should arrest her today?
Well, I mean, she's the one who did something. But they're saying, well, she made an allegation, so we have to take you. And even the cop was like, I don't really believe her, but because she made the allegation, we have to take you.
Wow.
So that's what they've done. But like I said, so now we're a year and a half into this thing. And the court or the prosecutors that keep pushing back the speedy trial date or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's another thing, like, by the way, and I'm glad you mentioned this, by the way, and I'd like you to briefly talk about this. You know, people don't realize how much stress it is, and people hire me, and then the case goes on for like a year or 2 years. Isn't it awful having something like this hanging over you?
It is.
It's a nightmare.
Frustrating. And
you don't know what's going to happen and all this, and then it gets delayed and delayed. You know, the system seems very Byzantine. It gets delayed for reasons that don't make sense or whatever. And, you know, even if you're going to get punished or, you know, have to pay a fine or get probation or go to jail, you just want to know what's going to happen. You want it to get it over with, you know? And people say to me, yeah, and I think I'm going to go insane thinking about this bullshit, you know, for 2 years.
Well, luckily that's not the case with me. I mean, I'm just more frustrated with it than anything. It's like, I want this over with because, so what she's done in the meantime now, she went to another court and basically did like a parenting plan or whatever and like pretty much stripped me of all my rights of my son.
Whoa, how did that happen?
Because she went to court, but I didn't even know about it. And they put an order in. So I have a lawyer for that I'm working with. But like, they're kind of like want to wait and see what's going
to
happen
with
the criminal case.
She went to court without telling you?
Yeah.
That seems odd.
Well, like, so the lawyers that I have dealing with that, they found all kinds of, like, problems with it. So she's like, we can get this taken. They're going to get that order vacated or whatnot. So okay. I'm not so much worried about that. But the thing I'm concerned about, because I'm pretty sure if I lose your parental rights,
you know?
Exactly. That's what I want to avoid. But actually, I want to get custody of him because she's not that great a mom anyway.
Yeah, she sounds pretty crazy.
She is. But now the lawyer for the criminal case, what she's saying she wants to try to do is a stipulated order of continuance.
Right.
Where she says, like, there's no, like, I don't admit guilt or anything. They don't put, like, a guilty plea against me. And she said, she wants to try to get it so, like, I do a parenting class. And then, like, in 6 months, they wipe this whole thing away.
Great.
So my question for you is that something I should do, or should I just continue to try to press for trial?
I don't know. I mean, you have to listen to your lawyer. You know, it's a very difficult thing sometimes where I get an offer, and it's like, you know, life and death, right? And, you know, the district attorney or whoever's prosecuting, they don't know for sure that they're going to get a conviction, and they don't want to lose. And I think I'm going to win if we go to trial. But sometimes, you know, they come halfway in between and they say, look, what if your guy pleads guilty to this and that? You know, we'll do this. And then he, you know, it'll be expunged in 6 months or a year or whatever. And, you know, people say to me, should I take the deal? And it's a very personal decision. Because if you're innocent, you know, you're pleading guilty to something and it's going to, you know, maybe make it easier for you. But are you really such a gambler that you're willing to roll the dice and risk actually getting convicted and getting fucked, going to prison or whatever? You know, if you get an offer and you take it, maybe that's smart. It's very hard to know. I really couldn't answer for you, you know, what's the right decision to make. It's awful.
So just do what your attorney is saying.
I don't know, Tom.
That would be your best bet.
I don't know. I'd be surprised if an attorney really told someone, you should take this, you know, do take the damn deal, you know? People say to me, what should I do? And I try to talk to them about it. It's a very tough decision.
Yeah. And it's hard to know. Well, we're 1,500 miles away. Do we really know what's likely to happen in this case?
You're going to feel like a real idiot later on if you do get convicted and you're sitting in jail and you could have taken the frickin' deal.
Right.
You're going to feel like a dupe serving 2 years. You know, what the fuck was this?
But again, it's a recipe for disaster. All you guys listening out there, this guy, once she's called 911 once, or once you've had to call 911
but see,
once.
He somehow was encouraged because last time they arrested her. But this was a normal part of their relationship,
Tom. He shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, but
after it happened, that's it. The first time it happened, that's it.
I couldn't agree more. But think about the fact that she was arrested last time, then got out, and then they continued to date.
Right.
Unbelievable.
That's what I'm saying.
It's unbelievable. It's like asking for it, man.
Yeah. Zero tolerance policy.
No, what good is going to come of it, honestly?
If you have had the police to your place, it's time to go. That's it. That's it.
I think, honestly, Tom, I think even the conversation... If you're talking to a woman who is of that mindset, who is saying, is picking up the phone and going, I'm going to call the cops. I'm going to call the cops. It's like, what are you, fucking serious?
Right.
I mean, in my house, and I'm paying the mortgage and the rent and my personal things, is going to be police stomping around?
Right.
Imagine that. I mean, think about what could be possibly worse than cops. Wait, would you have the flashlight in your face waking you up?
Right. Well, you know what's worse? Having kids seeing that.
Oh, fabulous for the kids.
At least when I was arrested, kids were not there.
Well, you didn't have kids.
That's my point.
Imagine that this guy is saying the reason he stayed with her all this time is for the sake of the kid.
Right.
That's complete shit logic. What the hell does that mean?
And now the kid may have to visit his dad in jail if mom even takes him to visit him in jail.
But this kid, when he's in his 20s, one of his first memories of childhood, and one of the things he's going to be telling his fucking therapist when he's in a mental hospital, and when he's talking to his psychiatrist, okay, is, I remember seeing my father getting taken away, you know, in handcuffs by the cops.
Right.
And my mother crying and all that shit. Come on.
It is amazing. We're going to take one more call here. The phone
all
just
right.
keep coming, and so we're going a little extra here. Nick,
you've got to give the audience what they want, Tom.
Give the people what they want. Nick at Jamestown, North Dakota. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hi, guys. Hey, Nick. Just got a DUI about a week ago, and I'm right now I'm a full-time college student. I'm trying to get a... I think I got about a year and a half left at nursing school.
You see, what gets me with something like you as a professional, and this is what's the tragedy of tragedies, okay, is that if you really want to be a nurse and you finish nursing school or any kind of professional school like that, you're going to have a licensing exam and then you're going to have a background check. And if you don't have a clean record, you're not going to be able to get licensed. And people don't realize that, okay? Seriously, it is a very big deal to have a DUI. You're considered irresponsible. And when you talk about nursing, you're going to be in a hospital or other circumstances with people that are vulnerable with drugs, and you're going to have to be in a position of trust. And do you really think they're going to give you a nursing license when you have a DUI? The presumption is that you're a problem drinker. So that's something you're going to have to fight. It's not even a possibility. You have to fight it. And what kills me the worst is when I talk to young guys like you who are students, you guys are the least capable of fighting because you don't have a lot of money. You're typically students. You know, I was broke when I was a student. You're like struggling to pay tuition and books and all the other shit you have to pay for. And so you're going to have to talk to your family. You're going to have to make some kind of a sacrifice, and you're going to have to fight the case. So what happened? You were at a party, or you were at a bar, or what were you doing?
Actually, I came home after I took a big test, and I stayed up for I don't know how many hours, and after the test, I felt pretty good about it. So I had about maybe 5 beers, and I went to sleep for a little bit.
At your own house?
Yeah.
And then what?
I drink about... once a month.
No, but when you said you had the 5 beers at your house, how did you get to driving?
I woke up, like I slept for about a couple hours. I woke up and then I decided to get some crappy food at Taco Bell, and I ended up hitting. I rear-ended somebody because it.
Wow! You were in an accident.
Yes.
Yeah, wow! You didn't mention that before.
So, and when you rear-end somebody, there's no doubt whose fault it is. It's not the other person's fault.
God forbid a parked car.
Yeah. And the lady came out of the car, and she asked me, because I was pretty sure I smelled like alcohol. She asked me if I'd been drinking. And
shit.
I felt so bad. I was like, yeah, I've been drinking. And she called the police. And
come on, man. She's gonna be testifying against you, dude. Come on, please, guys. When you get into trouble, just shut the fuck up, please. That woman, look. I mean, I know you felt bad. It wasn't great that you hit her, obviously, and she didn't deserve that. But you got to shut up, man. You can't tell her that. She's gonna tell the cops when they arrive, and she's gonna be coming into court against you.
By the way, I don't know how much you slept. I don't know how much of that alcohol is out of your system. We don't even know if you were legally drunk.
Yeah, 5 beers and a few hours sleep, man. Seriously.
I refused their test, sobriety test.
And good.
At the station, I took the breathalyzer test.
No,
and it came out, it was invalid. So it's an invalid test.
Oh.
And I called a friend. And
I wouldn't recommend the breathalyzer anyway. You go for the blood test. But if you did the breathalyzer and it came back invalid, then you're okay. You're home free.
I did refuse a blood test, though.
No, but you said you agreed to the breath test.
Yeah, I agreed to that.
But it was invalid. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, why don't you call me after the show, and I'll talk to you some more about this. But I got to tell you, you got to fight this stuff. Like I said, it's going to have too big effect on your career and on your future. It's just awful. It's out of proportion, Tom, seriously.
I know.
It's very natural when you're a student, you're a young guy, having a couple of beers, you get a craving, you want to get Taco Bell, whatever the hell it is in the middle of the night or whatever, and you, who knows what happens? You doze off. Look at that train in New York,
yeah.
The Metro North train.
Yep.
They're saying that that guy fell asleep at the wheel of the train. That's right. Wild.
He fell asleep. He was in a 35-mile-an-hour zone going 85 miles an
hour. So he fell asleep with his foot on the gas.
Right. Unbelievable.
But meanwhile, you see how this guy ends up getting this accident. He's a young guy. He's a student. He doesn't have a lot of money to hire a lawyer and to deal with it and all the other stuff. It's horrible. Your whole life could just turn around based on one act.
Unbelievable. How can people get in touch with you, Adam?
Happy to talk to you. Give me a call, toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. I answer my phone. I swear I really do. People still get this shit about it, Tom. Anyway, put Adam Sachs on. He's on right now. And you can send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com, and check my website, www.adamlawyer.com.
There we go. Adam Sachs, you hear him every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time for a little free legal advice.
Get everything for just 27 cents a day at premiumtom.com. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101, News for Guys. I'm Gary.
He's Dino.
Yay.
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine. In what may be the stupidest study of all time, it has been determined that bearded men pick the worst passwords.
Oh, my
bearded
God.
Bearded dudes.
Who the fuck?
Redhead women. Redheads. Gingers.
Yeah.
Pick the best passwords.
Right. Who stood up and said, this is going to be a good study?
The BBC.
Yeah. They got a lot of other things they need to think about, I'm thinking.
Right.
Wow. All right. So
men
got a beard,
men basically go for diversity. In other words, they change up their password a lot, but they're always dumb.
Yeah.
They're easy to break. Women, they go for... a little more diversity. No, not diversity. What do they go for? They go for colors. You know, women like to use colors in their passwords.
They're so dumb.
Yeah. Pretty goddamn funny.
I guess my password's bad.
They suggest that you do not use the names of your pets or the street you live on or your children's names.
All right.
Avoid those at all costs.
Got that taken care of.
Do you know that if you're offered a four-digit PIN, there are 10,000 possible combinations,
yes.
But that 80% of all people, 80% only pick within 100 numbers, and that's it.
Yeah,
10,000 combinations.
Zero, zero.
Right.
1-1-1-1-9-9-9-9.
Exactly.
Dummy.
Gonna have to shave that beard, dude.
Better believe it.
Yes, men do have selective hearing. According to a new study.
Yeah, we knew this was true.
Both men and women were sat down and read a list of different words, such as beer and football and
yay.
Chocolate and shopping.
Yeah.
Men tended to remember most of the men words, while women actually remembered most of the women's words.
Right.
So I can't remember what story I'm reading.
Yes, men do have selective...
Yes, we have selective hearing.
Yeah,
shit. Yeah, when you mention beer.
You start yelling beer and stuff.
Damn,
game,
I'm
beer
coming
football.
To you like a dog.
Rock.
Exactly. Chocolate? Nah, yeah. Leave that to the chicks.
Yeah.
And the shopping.
Although I have run for a piece of chocolate.
Yes, you have.
Maybe one too many times lately.
Yeah. 40% of Indian men, 40% of Indian men are hardcore sexists, according to a new study.
You mean the kind across
yeah.
the seas?
Bitches.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. They were found to hold rigid and discriminatory gender views.
I'm not taking no lip off no bitch.
40% of the population of men believe that women are inferior.
Yep. Those Indians know what
they're
doing.
They're sticking to it.
Yep. They mean it.
Don't be driving.
No. Nope.
Don't be looking at me like that.
No.
Wear something over your face.
Shut up.
Cover everything.
Shut up. I mean, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Tired of this bullshit.
See, the Microsoft is working on a new high-tech bra. And the awesome part about it is a bra that will tell women to stop eating.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. They also add, like, changes in skin temperature, sure, heart rate, stuff like that.
Yeah, it detects when you're overeating.
But it also stops you from overeating.
Sure, so it sends off a little alarm that says, hey.
Stop.
Yeah, shut the pie hole.
Get it done, put down the fork. Stop eating. And then you do.
All right. In India, the men just whack you across the face.
They just say it.
Or they don't allow you to have food.
Just stop it.
Because you're a woman.
You're a goddamn whore.
That's the way they do it over there.
Tired of this shit.
Looks like it's true that Ryan Seacrest is banging that blonde broad. Oh, at least, that's the way it looks. You know, but they're definitely hanging together.
This girl's unbelievable. Whatever.
She is hotter than hell.
It's a miracle. I guess this girl is responsible for filling basically models. If you have a party at a rich dude's house or whatever,
yeah,
her job is to bring other hot girls to the party. That's what she does.
No way.
What a life. That's the girl to know, man.
No kidding.
And that's, I guess, if that's where our friend actually met her. So.
Oh, she was just like, she's a hired hand that hires other hands.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
She's ridiculous.
Julianne Hough, though, she was nothing to kick out of
ridiculous
bed.
Ridiculous, too.
I don't see what the problem there was.
Ridiculous, too.
She must have been on to what he was, actually doing.
Yeah, that's what you get when you're with that dude.
Yeah, maybe someday the truth will come out. We don't know. Finally, a pick alert for you. It's not a nip slip. It's an entire tit slip. From Rosie Huntington. Whiteley.
Yeah, she's really good.
She's got a hyphenated name.
Yeah.
And she was out in London and had this, looks like a jacket on and maybe a blouse underneath it, and the whole thing just came wide open.
Oopsie.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter.
No, and there's people like within, 6 inches of her tit.
It's so good. It's so good.
It leaves nothing to the imagination. A very small, but perhaps a pert breast.
Yeah.
You don't know about perfect, but pert.
Oh, please.
I'll go pert.
I'm going to keep it. It's perfect.
Really? I can't get past the hair.
Oh, I didn't even get there yet.
The big mane of wacky, blown-back head.
She's simply
kind of bizarre looking.
Simply irresistible.
Looks like jism was put in there. You know? Is that stiff?
Rosie Huntington Whiteley.
She took one.
She got the Whiteley in her hair.
Exactly. There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Be sure to check out our podcast at GaryandDino.com. There's a brand new show every Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today and enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.